Dear listeners, I'm Lauren Conlon, and before you embark on this investigative journey with me, I want to offer a sincere word of my acknowledgement and gratitude. When I, as the host, first set out on this path, I was admittedly very green. I lacked the seasoned expertise and finesse that comes with experience in investigative podcasting and reporting. However, every story has a beginning and an ending, and this podcast represents the start of my own investigative odyssey. So as you dive into these episodes, you may notice rough edges or moments where my inexperience shines through, but please know that every stumble and misstep has been a crucial part of my learning process, and I've embraced each challenge as an opportunity for growth and improvement. So I want to express my heartfelt appreciation to each and every one of you who has stuck with the story despite my imperfections, because Grant's story is important. So your support and patience have been invaluable as I've navigated the complexities of investigative podcasting. And your feedback, whether constructive criticism, words of encouragement, or maybe something that wasn't so nice, has helped me and helped shape this podcast into what it is today. So without further ado, here is Corruption: What Happened to Grant Solomon.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to Corruption: What Happened to Grant Solomon. I'm your host, Lauren Conlon. Let's start off with some really awesome news. For those people unaware, Angie and Gracie were on Ashley Banfield on News Nation on Friday night, February 9th, which was the first time ever that Grant and Gracie's story had ever been covered on national news. It was such a big deal. It was just seriously monumental. So how this happened: Olivia Vitale, who is behind the highly successful TikTok account Chronicles of Olivia, she actually was the first content creator to make a video about Grant's case. And she was recently involved in a Paramount Plus documentary about the Idaho murders. And the Banfield team asked her if she had any other cases that she wanted to bring to the table. And she said, why? Yes, I do. So the first block or segment was Olivia teeing things off. And then after that, Angie and Gracie were interviewed for about 10 minutes by Ashley Banfield. And oh my gosh, it was heartbreaking to watch. And it also made me a little bit angry. I mean, this poor teenage girl you have here, Gracie Solomon, she's lost her brother, her best friend. She's been abused by her father. No one will listen. She had to go to YouTube to talk about this, even with a DCS substantiation. No one's listening, though. So at this point, she has to go on national television and plead for help and just relive and tell the really ugly, dark parts of what happened to her. And, you know, she still has to go to school and face her friends and her teachers. And I just kept thinking, like, this girl is so brave. Gracie is such a hero. And then you have Angie, who did such a phenomenal job. She was so strong, so well-spoken, and you could just tell she knew that she could not break down because she had to be there to comfort Gracie because Gracie was very, very visibly upset. So yeah, I mean, if you didn't watch it, there is one point where Ashley says to Angie, "Angie, you know, if Aaron were here, what would you say to him?" And Angie said, "Nothing. I'd say nothing to him." And I was watching it with my husband, and my husband was like, "Whoa, that was powerful." So I believe Banfield will be tracking the story. So that is really awesome news. And God is good. You know, our prayers have been that somebody from the national media will cover this, and they have. So hopefully we have more good news around coverage coming soon. Okay, now pivoting, there was a comment on one form of social media that I do want to address, essentially saying that they would like to know more about what's going on with the actual investigation, like what we're doing behind the scenes. And yes, I do keep that stuff pretty general, but I think it's for good reason. I assume when it comes to this podcast that, quote unquote, everyone is listening. Everyone is listening, if that makes sense. So sometimes I hesitate in sharing every little detail as to not ruin what's happening behind the scenes, if that makes sense. But I'm certain there will come a time where I can just blurt everything out, but that time is just not right now. But I do appreciate everyone trying to do their part in, you know, donating money here and there or sharing a social media post or just telling your friend about this insane case. And just in terms of the GCA complaint, because we've been very forward about that, that is being refiled with an attorney. So an attorney will be taking care of that because clearly the citizens don't get any type of respect. So we've realized that these guys, the mayor, the sheriffs, they don't have any regard for citizens or constituents that support Grant Solomon, Gracie Solomon, or Angie Solomon. You got to get lawyers to get these things done. And additionally, I briefly mentioned that we did have a plan about starting another private investigation with an accident reconstruction and a computer aided drawing to start, but that fell through with the people that we were counting on. So we are working on going a different route, but believe me, that is going to happen. I mean, that absolutely needs to happen. So hopefully I will have good news about that shortly. And again, there is a GoFundMe in the episode notes if you want to donate to that or you just want to see some of the cost breakdown. And regardless of what anyone says, any experts or guests I have on here, I firmly believe that, my gosh, that needs to happen. An accident recon needs to happen. Something went down in Sumner County that day. To this day, something is not right, and we need to stay on top of them and expose this. And I even wrote another letter to the DA, and I mentioned that on the mini episode. So if I hear back, I will let you guys know. And I'm just thinking out loud and being honest with you guys right now. I do receive information about certain key players that we speak about from different sources. And some of this information just seems so plausible. Like, these people have no reason to lie. And it seems like this info would check out, but I haven't been able to get concrete proof. So it does get frustrating. Like, I am in New York and this case is in Tennessee and I am one person and I am working so hard to connect these dots and I would like to be extremely ethical. So yes, there is an off chance that when I receive a tip that seems totally totally plausible, there is a small chance that it might not be true, and I really don't want to ruin anyone's reputation until I'm absolutely certain. So yeah, sometimes I'm like, ugh, I wish I lived in Tennessee because I would be out there every day making this my full-time job, connecting these dots. But I do want to ask this of the listeners, and this is going to sound a little weird, the Tennessee local listeners specifically. Anyone listening, are you familiar with, I believe there are two swingers clubs in the Nashville area? Do you know of these? Are they very private? Are they hard to get into? Are they crowded? Are they disgusting? And this is not for my pleasure. Just shoot me an email, lauren@magicshack.com. I know enough from the research I've done, but I'm just curious if anyone listening has personal experiences with any of these swingers clubs. Okay, now one last pivot before we get into our guest for today. Something that I neglected to update everyone on, and I think that's because it occurred during the break I was taking in December and January, and that is Anglican Watch. Eric from Anglican Watch had filed a complaint against the funeral home director, Pam Stevens, at the Williamson Memorial Funeral Home. And if you recall, this was because she had disposed of Grant's clothing without permission and had Grant's legs broken so he could fit into the casket. And his mother, Angie, had to see his legs like that. She was not aware. And it was just absolutely awful, just trauma all over again. And the state regulations board said back to Eric that they'd issue a warning to the funeral home, which is now under new management, I believe, but nothing actionable will be done. Yeah, of course, I'm really not surprised. Like, none of this surprises me. It's like, oh, thanks for letting us know, but anything to do with Grant or Gracie or Angie Solomon, we're just not touching. Yeah, but I think it's a good thing to keep Grant's name out there and have it official and on paper and connect it with different mishandlings across the state, just to let it be known that we are taking action. We are not being silent, but we're just not being taken seriously. So I linked out Eric's article in the episode notes so you could read more and you can actually read what he received back from the Federal Regulations Board. Okay, today's guest, buckle up for Dr. Byron Davis, who doesn't hold back. Dr. Byron Davis is a Tennessee local. He's a former Marine and he's former law enforcement. Where else than Williamson County? Will you look at that? He also became a doctor of psychology in 2015, but right now, Byron and his team, consists of ex-law enforcement, retired FBI, they are currently investigating Tennessee corruption as a whole. Yes, you heard that right. This guy specializes in corruption and he knows all about it. So I am ready to play you guys this interview with Dr. Byron Davis. And I linked out his Twitter and more info about him in the episode notes if you want to kind of look him up while you're listening, because everything he has to say is very, very interesting.
I have been anticipating our chat. I have to tell you, I've been really, really looking forward to it. But first, can you just give everybody listening a background on who you are and what you do?
Sure, absolutely. So pleasure being here. I'm glad you brought me in. I enjoy doing things like this most of the time. It's get out there in front of the world. You know, it's definitely overwhelming from time to time. But so I'm a Marine veteran. I served from 2008 to 2012. And after that, I went into contracting shortly over in Afghanistan. And then 2013 began my law enforcement career. And I graduated with my doctoral degree in 2021 with the intent of targeting PTSD among law enforcement officers. And that was the first study my dissertation that I conducted was along the lines of that. But when I started my career in 2013, and as time progressed up until July of last year, whenever I decided to retire, the focus kind of shifted a little bit. And that was not by design at all. It was because I started noticing probably 4 or 5 years prior to my retirement, just the intense level of corruption in our government and the two-tier justice system. You hear a lot about that in the media with the two-tier justice system. But I was one of those, cops that had put blinders on, you know, as long as it doesn't affect me. And as long as you don't do anything in front of me, you know, I'm going to turn the blind eye to whatever I hear. It's all rumors to me anyway, until I actually see something. Well, then someone that I care about dearly became a victim of that corruption. And, you know, I tried to resolve the issues as a law enforcement officer. I tried to resolve the issues while I was still serving behind closed doors discreetly to try to get individuals to solve the problem. But what I found is that you have judges that know that there's very little that you can do. You have elected and appointed officials that know there's very little that you can do. And I attempted to utilize the avenues available to me, such as the Tennessee Board of Judicial Conduct. And the information that I submitted, you know, me being a law enforcement officer, I prosecuted and convicted hundreds of criminals over the course of my career, and had a very, very high conviction rate in my prosecutions. And whenever I submitted all the evidence that I had to the Tennessee Board of Judicial Conduct, they dismissed it. And I was like, there's no way. There's no way the system's this bad. So I started doing some research on the Tennessee Board of Judicial Conduct and found that they actually dismiss well over 90% of cases against judges, and that none of the cases are public record. That is whenever I really started branching out into the significant in-depth corruption within our justice system. And as a result, because of that, because of what happened to a very dear friend of mine, I decided to retire from law enforcement. It's only a matter of time before they come after you. If you're a law enforcement officer, they'll do everything they can to ruin your career, accuse you of, you know, committing. I've seen it time and time again where they accuse you of stealing time, and they charge you with theft, or they'll say, if you resign, we won't charge you, and we'll let you keep your post certification and go to another department and work. So I retired and decided to pursue corruption full time and help in criminal justice reform in the in a different manner than what you see in the media. I take a little bit different approach to that, but we're actually in the process of starting a private investigations company, getting licensed for that, so we'll make it official.
Okay, so I have a few questions just to clarify. Mm-hmm. So what, where are you, which county, I guess, are you in Tennessee, and where were you a police officer?
So I've been a police officer in Williamson. So the city that I worked in is in both Williamson and Murray County.
Okay.
So I was in two different jurisdictions. We split the jurisdictions depending on where we,
you know, I have a hard time with jurisdictions.
Yeah.
I don't understand them. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, got it. Yeah. So you split them.
Yeah. And then so Williamson, Murray County is where I worked initially whenever I began my career. And then I went over to Rutherford County Sheriff's Office and I spent about a year there before I went to my administration, which was great. My sheriff all the way down to my leaders. And I said, listen, this is what I've got going on.
Yeah.
They're probably going to come after me. I just want to give you guys the heads up before, you know, that way you can come talk to me whenever somebody calls you and accuses me of something and starts fabricating things. You can come to me before you fire me, you know, and they were great, but I didn't want to put them in a position to have to make that decision. So I went ahead and retired and came after it full time. So no strings attached.
When you say they, you're talking about who exactly, in case they come after me, in case, I just want to clarify that as well.
So Williamson County, much like most counties, and governments throughout the United States, you've heard the term deep state quite a bit. Donald Trump's mentioned it. You've heard it in the media. You know, 15 years ago, if somebody mentioned deep state, you were a conspiracy theorist. Mm-hmm. Now it's a common term, common phrase used daily, you know, in the media. But every government has its good old boy system or its deep state. And in Williamson County, it's pretty much diehard Republican. And I support Republicans and conservatives. For the most part, I lean that way with conservative values. But I've distanced myself from the GOP, because of what I've seen, with some of this stuff. A lot of this stuff you submit to them, you reach out to these people for help, and who are in, you know, county commissioners, the mayor, the district attorney, the judges, you know, you reach out to these people and say, hey, this is what I've got going on. Can you help with this? And they bury their heads in the sand, you know, and that is a significant problem across the United States. You know, not just Williamson County. Williamson County is horrible with that. I mean, and of course, I mean, you and I've talked about some of the things that we found out, you know, going on in Middle Tennessee and in the state government and stuff like that. Williamson County is right in the middle of that. They're right in the middle of that. I mean, Jack Johnson, who is a legislator in Nashville, his wife is a circuit court judge. I will say this, his wife is, I've never had an issue with her. I think she's always been great. I've actually went in front of her on a couple cases. She's always done great with me. There's a lot of speculation out there in terms of with Jack Johnson and stuff like that, that a lot of people are looking into. But you know, Williamson County is, it's probably one of the worst in the state of Tennessee whenever it comes to people covering up crimes, burying their heads in the sand, and protecting people with that two-tier justice system.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, Deanna Johnson, she did make a pretty terrible ruling towards Angie Solomon.
Yes, yes.
I think you're aware of that. Yeah.
Yeah, I did read that. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's too bad. But yeah, go ahead. And,
you know, with the courts also, you know, I read through all that ruling. Mm-hmm. I don't know Angie. I've talked to her over text messages, stuff like that. But somebody who has, what I can tell you is somebody who has a doctorate degree in psychology, who understands mental health and who understands many different aspects associated with the mental health spectrum, whatever the case.
Yeah.
She's not one of them. You know, like which is some of the things that they've put out there. You know, I did read through that ruling, and that's exactly what I'm referring to whenever it comes to the two-tier justice system. Yeah. If you have connections in these systems, they will absolutely, or if you don't have connections to these systems, or if you're going up against somebody who has connections to these systems, they will absolutely weaponize the system against you. And just reading through some of the stuff that I saw, I 100% believe that the system was weaponized against Angie. Some of the stuff they put in there was just ridiculous. I mean, I read something on there that didn't even sound like it should be in a court document. It just sounded.
Really? Do you remember what it was?
I cannot remember what it was, but we were, me and my partner were reading it together. She was reading it to me as we were headed home from Nashville.
Yeah.
And she read it to me, and I was like, that sounds like a fifth grader wrote that. And it came from a court. You know, I'm like,
I know it's not funny. I'm laughing, but it's actually not funny. And, you know, everybody who's listening to this podcast knows that she had this rebuffed, you know, by a doctor on her side, a forensic doctor or psychologist. I can't recall exactly which one it was at this point. But yeah, they're like, no, she's not crazy. And it's not really funny, but it's kind of become this joke, right? Like, she is a pharmacist and she works like to this day, she works and she's actively filling people's prescriptions. And it's like, she didn't see her kids for 5 years because of this guy, allegedly. And I digress. Let me go back to, I want to just ask you something that you had said initially. You had said when you would file things that I think it was with the, I don't remember what you said exactly.
Tennessee Board of Judicial Conduct.
Yes. Thank you. Yeah. You said that they would just dismiss it. Now, what do you mean by that? What were you filing that they would dismiss when you said that?
So we had evidence of theft. We had evidence of altering government documents. We had evidence of lying in testimony.
Is this all the same case or a different case?
It's just multiple different magistrates in the same office.
Oh, okay. This is just things that you would file. Sorry. I'm just trying to, okay.
Yeah, it's fine. But so this office, it was composed of multiple magistrates, which fell under the General Sessions Court in Williamson County. And over the course of how many ever years, and this goes to make my point in terms of that if you don't get control of something early, you'll lose control of it to the point where it's almost irrecoverable later on, which is where we've gotten in our governments thus far. So we had several individuals in this office who had gotten away with criminal behavior and gotten away with unethical behavior for so long because you had two Republican conservative judges who buried their heads in the sand and refused to do anything about it. And I think a lot of it had to do with because they didn't want to be embarrassed themselves because they allowed their office to get out of control like that. Mm-hmm. Nonetheless, we had started gathering evidence. Whenever my good friend was in there, she started seeing illegal and unethical behavior in the office. She would go forward with it. Nothing would get done. So I told her this started in 2019. I said, you need to start documenting everything that you can document it. So that's what we started doing as a backup plan for if they came after her. And they did come after her. At the end of the day, all she did was she just lost her job. But I think there's no doubt in my mind that had we not went to them and said, listen, we're about to turn all this information over that you have done over the course of 4 years. Had we not started submitting that information and them see that we had criminal evidence of criminal and unethical behavior, mm-hmm. there's a possibility they may have came after her. We haven't even put everything we have out there, but nonetheless, I submitted all of that evidence over to the Tennessee Board of Judicial Conduct, mm-hmm. and an investigation wasn't even conducted. And investigations aren't conducted in over 90% of cases that are submitted. And then that information is not public record. And that makes no sense either, because judges are elected public officials. And there's only one conclusion that we can come to about why that information is not public. It's because they are protecting corrupt judges. Simple as that.
Did you know Tamika Sanders when you were at Williamson County?
I did not. I did not know her.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm just curious. I'm not sure if you are aware, but she was the one who reviewed the complaint against, GCA. And she was like, nope, you have nothing here. The criminal statute of limitations is beyond at this point. And I just thought that was interesting because she was the one who decided that Gracie and Grant didn't need any help in 2018. Right. She was the one who also decided Angie was crazy. And I mean, I know that it's not illegal for her to look into that. I was just like, wow, this seems like a really big conflict of interest here that she would be the one, shutting this down. Right. But yeah, just curious. Okay. All right. So if you don't mind, do you mind sharing what happened to someone that you know that kind of got you into this place and wanting to investigate corruption?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So she was much like me. She shared conservative values. And the individuals she worked with did not. They were, you can be liberal and you can be conservative and be normal, but you have both conservatives and liberals who run into what we call the far left and the far right. And neither one is better than the other one. Both are equally dangerous. You have your far right lunatics, you have your far left lunatics, and we interacted with them all the time as law enforcement officers on the street, and they are equally dangerous in their own ways. But this office had become embedded with far left individuals. They would say things I mean, they would talk about anytime a cop or an officer was shot and killed. I mean, they would just celebrate in this office. And she was surrounded by this crap. You know, they would refer to law enforcement as the Gestapo. You know, they would say things like, don't get stopped driving black in Williamson County. And as someone who worked in Williamson County, like this area, especially in the metro Nashville, that's a whole different place. But this area of Middle Tennessee is a good area to live. But they, whenever she started noticing the criminal activity, like she, the supervisor came to her one day and said, hey, change your time to this. She said, well, I didn't work that. This is what sparked it all. He said, change your time to this. She said, I didn't work those hours. And the other one, another magistrate that had been there for several years, came to her and said, just do it. Don't ask questions. So she did it. Well, immediately upon doing it, she called the judge and said, hey, this just happened. And the judge was like, no, absolutely not. That's not going to happen. So in short, whenever that happened, the supervisor, who had also been there for a long time, ended up having to resign as a result of essentially allowing people to pad their timesheets. Mm-hmm. But what was going on whenever she first got there and what we discovered is that there was a little theft ring going on among these individuals in this office. Well, when he had to resign, then we caught another magistrate altering government documents. And there's so much going through my mind. Like, I'm just living all this.
I gotta get out of my mouth.
But she got caught altering government documents. We turned that in, and they ended up getting rid of her. And then there was another magistrate who got caught lying in testimony, and she ended up resigning. You know, so and then another one was caught still in time, and they ended up getting rid of him. So it was several resignations and people that didn't get reappointed. Well, they all came to the conclusion that it was her that was forwarding this information. When at the end of the day, it was me. I was the one forwarding the information, but she was the one giving it to me. She's a sweetheart. She's not confrontational. I am the complete opposite. If I see you doing something shady, I will absolutely confront you. So the workplace bullying and harassment started at that point. She would come in and her things would be strewn all over the floor. They would leave nasty notes on the wall whenever she'd come in and stuff like that. So it got pretty insane.
These are adults. This is so crazy. It's
like you would adults. Think.
What?
Yeah. And it's completely. And this is the thing. The supervisor they have in there now, the most experience that he had was as a jailer in the juvenile detention center. And that's the type of pathetic decisions that these individuals make. But nonetheless, this went on over the course of about 3.5 years. I mean, everything was fine for about the first 6 months. And then whenever they realized that she wasn't going to tolerate the corrupt behavior, they turned on her and they started fabricating things on her. They started doing all of these bullying her. And it was just absolutely crazy what she had to go through. One of the magistrates in there actually. So in the state of Tennessee, in order to commit an assault, all you have to do is place someone in fear of being hit or harmed.
I learned that based on George Brewer's.
All you have to do is place someone in fear. There was a magistrate in there who placed her in fear. Like, he scared the apps. I mean, she's 100 pounds soaking wet. Mm-hmm. You know, she's 50 at the time, 51 years old, you know, and this is a young, I mean, he's a young man, you know, scared the hell out of her. With a state trooper sitting right there. So whenever we brought that information forth, nothing got done. So that right there is kind of what started all of this and what kind of led me down the path of where I'm at now. They're going to do what we asked them to do. It's as simple as that. Because we're just going to keep digging stuff up on them. I mean, it's one of those things. And this is why I tell people all the time, like, you have to be persistent in this. Mm-hmm. You have to be persistent, and otherwise they're just gonna brush you off and continue doing what they're doing. You have to be persistent, and you have to continue going after it, which is exactly what we're doing. I mean, this has been going on for a year now, and we're still uncovering information on them. Some of the information we've got now, we're about to send over. I'm not gonna say
you're
who
talking
it is,
about the judges.
The judges and the magistrates and individuals in here. But we're about to send information over to another state investigative agency, which is going to launch another investigation. And they're currently in the second TBI investigation in 3 years into a magistrate who broke the law. So, but that's another aspect that, you know, I respect the TBI. I worked with those guys. I was on the human trafficking task force for a little while. And the overwhelming majority of those guys are squared away and good to go. But
the TBI
is also political. It's also very political. You know, they're not going to, especially whenever you've got an individual who's over the TBI who was once the sheriff in Williamson County. So it's very political. So
are you talking
it's hard
about
to get anything
Jeff
done.
Long? No, he's Jeff not Long. TBI. Oh, I am. Okay, I was right. I said I misspoke on the Mill Creek podcast about him. But yeah, okay.
Yeah, he's the over the Homeland Security in State Tennessee. And Jeff was a damn good sheriff. I will say that. I don't know where he's went since he went up to the TBI. But what I can tell you is that there's a lot of crap going on in Williamson County. And people that people need to go to jail for, and they're just not. And if you submit it over to the DA, it's up to her to submit it to the TBI. The TBI is not going to do anything unless the DA submits it over to them. So it's very political, very political. And this is the battles that people fight whenever they're trying to combat corruption.
Now, I know that, you know, we are, I guess, well, we've got two different types of corruption, I guess. We've got our, you know, our issues with Williamson County, you know, regarding mm-hmm. GCA and everything. And then obviously we've got Sumner County. So do you think anything that you're doing right now in uncovering the corruption that you are uncovering, do you think that could help our cause with anything pertaining to Gracie Solomon and GCA or Grant Solomon?
Mm-hmm.
You do.
I do. Yeah, okay. I do. And where I think it'll help at is these people know that I'm not going away. The county attorney, Lisa Carson, she knows I'm not going away. I've called her in lies on emails. I just called her in another lie not long ago whenever I filed, whenever I got public records requests from the late Kim Helper, who was the DA at the time whenever all this stuff was being submitted over to them. But I got emails from her, and correspondence that I have from Lisa Carson from last year shows that Lisa Carson lied in one of those emails. You know, so it's ridiculous. But yes, if we stay persistent mm-hmm. and if we continue going after these people, they can dig their heels in all they want. But the more people we bring attention to this, we have to continue to bring this to the people's attention in Williamson County, and not just Williamson County, the state of Tennessee also, because Williamson County is not the only problem. But I do see, you know, once we make headway on this and people finally start realizing you finally start having the mayor, which he's a coward. He's on his way out. Thank God. And then you've got county commissioners who want to bury their heads in the sand. Once these individuals start waking up and realizing that they are part of the problem and that they can either continue to be part of the problem and bury their heads in the sand, or they can be part of the solution and get rid of these freaks, then at that point, we will make headway on Grant Solomon for Angie. So I think they do a really good job of playing dumb. And that's the problem with politicians is a lot of them have become so dishonest. Bill Lee knows what people are talking about whenever they mention Grant Solomon. You know, everybody in that government does. You're not going to sit here and tell me that it's garnered tens of millions of views on TikTok, and they're the same types of individuals that you, just like you and I, mm-hmm. we lay in here in bed or we sit on the couch and we scroll through TikTok. It's going to pop up. Mm-hmm. Tens of millions of views that this case has garnered throughout the United States. I mean, it's even garnered attention, you know, worldwide in some other countries where people are seeing this. So, yeah, I think Bill Lee does a really good job of playing dumb along with the other people under him. And they're just they're doing everything they can to ignore it and hope it goes away. And that's exactly what you guys, which my following's growing on social media, your following's growing on social media. You have a lot of people with big followings out there who has put, you know, pressure on these individuals and on the case. The best thing that we can do is just keep putting pressure on them. You just can't give up. You have to keep going after it.
It's a situation that just needs to be addressed. I mean, before we got on the Zoom here, I was drafting another letter to DA Whitley, because I'm like, I need these questions answered. I need to understand exactly, because now I'm going through all these different letters that have been written to this family or addressed Grant Solomon between 2021 and 2024, and they are just all conflicting. So it's very confusing. And yeah, it's, yeah, I just... I'm like you. We're not going to stop because I think that uncovering what actually happened here, whether or not Aaron Solomon had anything to do with it or not, like if we figure out what happened, we can save other people from whatever the hell could happen next or whatever. Yeah. And this is, it's tough because I'm not in Tennessee and I don't understand every single aspect of the Tennessee government and obviously jurisdiction. And so it is tough. I want to ask a lot more questions, but I'm doing the best that I can from New York, but talking to people like you, it's super helpful. So I appreciate that.
Yeah. Well, the corruption runs deep in Tennessee too. It's primarily dominated by the GOP. You've got good people in the GOP, but you've got a lot of bad people in the GOP too. And Ray Whitley is a perfect example of why we need term limits in Tennessee. That man has been a DA for decades.
He's
old. That's a problem. And you see why, because Sumner County is an absolute cesspool. People who I know deputies at Sumner County that say, man, you don't even understand. And I know I don't. I can see it. This is glaring from where I'm at, but I haven't even began to dig into Sumner County. But it's a perfect example of why term limits needs to be placed on both elected and appointed positions in Tennessee. But in my personal opinion, I believe the GOP is preventing that because Tennessee, and people don't want to hear this. They don't want to hear it because they Tennessee's always been such a deep red state. Mm-hmm. Tennessee's turning purple. And it's not fun. And I think if the GOP knows if they implement term limits, it's a very real possibility that a lot of counties, your populous counties, which could flip a state real quick to blue, a lot of your big counties are starting to get that. They're starting to turn purple. Nonetheless, that's a whole nother rabbit hole that I could go down. But he's a perfect example.
Yeah. And I think Tennessee probably should be purple at this point, because I think that like a Democrat in Tennessee is a moderate, let's say in New York or New England. And obviously learning what I've learned, how these people dictate their lives based on their quote unquote Christianity, that just doesn't seem genuine to me. But oh my gosh, I just forgot what I was gonna say. I'll have to edit
that. I do it all the time.
I literally was gonna say something to you that was yeah, I know. It's like
it's like your brain starts, you're focusing on what you want to talk about, and then your brain ventures into things that matter on what you're about, the point you're about to make, and then
I was gonna tell you so when you do decide to look into Sumner County, I haven't really gone into this on my commentary on the podcast, because I want to be ethical and I want to like not go off rumors, but I do think it says a lot when I get many, many emails from people who live in Sumner County or work in Sumner County in the medical fields. And they've said to me, and I quote, Sumner County is where people go to die. And they say this for many reasons. I don't know if you're aware of this, but apparently you have to pay for an autopsy in Sumner County if you want one done that is not ordered by the hospital or the DA. You have to pay for it there, which is
it's probably ridiculously expensive.
I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure. That was just one thing. And then the other thing is that I do get emails probably, let's say on a slow week, 4 emails a week of somebody's story of corruption in Tennessee, and they know that I'm not like this whistleblower or anything, right? Not because I am pretty focused on this one case, and I don't have time to dig into everybody's story of corruption. But all you got to know is I'm getting like 4 emails a week of their stories, so says a lot. Yeah,
I can imagine, and that's just that's just Sumner County. You go out to, you get into other counties, you're more rural counties.
Oh no, they're from all counties. Like it's all counties at this point. They're just like, insane. This is what's Or they'll say, I had this same experience with XYZ judge. I can't even believe it. I can't believe you're actually talking about this. I've been waiting for someone to say something because I've kept this inside. But anyway, I don't want to take up any more of your time, but is there anything else that you feel is important to add here?
Yeah. So I do want to make this one point. So as far as the Tennessee Board of Judicial Conduct, D. David Gay was the chair over the Tennessee Board of Judicial Conduct, and he was a judge in none other than Sumner County for a long time. So go figure, you know, no coincidence there that all these cases are getting dismissed. I will say this. I think those people who are super involved, like you, who are super focused on the Grant Solomon case, continue doing what you're doing, stay motivated. I mean, you're making progress. It may not feel that way, but you are. But if something's going to get done about this, it's going to have to be the feds. The TBI is not going to do anything about it. The Tennessee Highway Patrol is not going to do anything about it. Sumner County, Gallatin, they're not going to do anything about it. It's going to have to be the feds. And it's probably like this in every state, I would imagine. But if the FBI were to send in undercover agents and infiltrate, you know, these governments somewhere around this area, big name people would go to prison. Big name people would go to prison.
We've been saying this for a year, or when I said this same thing, agreed.
And all it would take is one to go down, and they'll take the entire tower down with them.
Yeah.
Just if you take down one of them, the entire thing, the house of cards will collapse.
I just don't know how they sleep at night. I don't understand how. I guess, like, I mean, I can. I'm not. I always say I'm not naive. I'm really not. But
yeah,
at least just don't pretend that you're good. Don't pretend that you're a Christian. Don't just be a dickhead. You know what I mean? Like, right. I just like show your true colors. I don't understand. Like, why do you have to do this? It's, and I've said this before. Like, they're the scariest type of people because. They're not going to get caught, or they think they're invincible. So they just keep doing this. But anyway, Dr. Byron Davis, where can people find you if they would like to find you and follow you and all of the work that you're doing?
So I just started a Twitter. It's Byron Davis PsyD, PSYD. I'll get on Twitter to communicate with people from time to time and kind of
pick fights
and stuff like that, but I'll get on there and debate a little bit. TikTok, we have Shadow Oath is where a lot of our content's going to be. We haven't put a whole lot of local stuff out there because we are running a pretty big investigation right now that is coming across quite a bit of stuff.
Are you talking about you and other ex-law enforcement?
Ex-law enforcement officers, individuals who used to be in the justice system who got sick of all this crap, whistleblowers in the government. There's a lot of stuff coming out, not just in Williamson County, but there's a lot of stuff coming out in Williamson County. And it's unfortunate, but we're going to have to see. It's obvious that the FBI, where they're at right now, wouldn't be a good time to send anything over to the FBI. They're not going to do anything. The goal is to wait until November and see about sending that stuff over and see if anything gets done about it.
I see.
So, but Shadow Wolf on TikTok is where we're at.
Okay. Well, if you would ever like to do a TikTok about Grant Solomon, that would also be great for your followers. We would so appreciate it, as we so appreciate you taking the time to be on this podcast and share all of your knowledge. So thank you so much again.
Absolutely. I appreciate you.
Okay, Dr. Byron Davis, that was a bit intense, but he is doing some important work, and I do have a good relationship with him, so I do feel comfortable going to him and just bouncing stuff off of him, which has been so nice. So he's a really great resource to have. You can find out more about him once again in the episode notes. And thanks again for listening. Thank you for putting your trust and faith in me because you are listening to this podcast. I so appreciate it, and I know Angie and Gracie do as well. All right, until next time.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello? Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.